Those of you who didn't get the party blowers are really jealous, aren't you? I know. A little bit, right? Yep. So, our scripture reading today comes from the book of Exodus, and I'm going to start with a really hard question for all of you, okay? So, if you had to sum up the story that is told in the book of Exodus, what would you say that story was about? The book of Exodus is about the Exodus, right? So the book of Exodus is about the Exodus of the Israelites, when the Israelites escaped from slavery in Egypt. And then it tells the story of their 40-year journey through the wilderness as they are trying to make their way to the promised land. Now, there are lots of people who are part of that story, but there is one person in particular who kind of, apart from God, kind of has a starring role in the book of Exodus. Who do you think that person is? Yes. So, Jesus is usually your excellent go-to answer in church. Usually if there's a question and it's about a person, Jesus is an excellent and safe answer. But this story that we're going to talk about today happened way before Jesus was even born. So it's somebody, I know, somebody else kind of has a starring role. And Reverend Brian said his name earlier in the children's sermon. So this is, oh, yeah, you remember it?
Moses.
Yes, Moses. All right. Let's have some yay for Moses. Excellent work. All right. Yes, so God chose Moses to be a prophet, which meant that he had a special job where God would talk to Moses, and then Moses would go and share God's message with the people. He would kind of go back and forth between God and the people and God and the people sharing what God's message was for the people of Israel. Now, God was also present with the people of Israel as they were wandering around. God was present with them. During the day, they would see God as this really big cloud. And then at night, they would see God as a pillar of fire. So the people could see God, but only Moses got to hear God and talk with God. Now, right before the scripture reading we are going to hear today, Moses had done his job. He had done his prophesying. He had gone and he had talked to God, and it seemed like God had a lot to say, because the people started getting really nervous because Moses wasn't coming back. They knew he had gone to talk to God, and it was taking a really long time, and they started to get nervous that Moses might not return, and they started to get nervous that God might have left them alone. And because they were so scared, they decided that they were going to build a statue that would remind them of God. But the problem was, God didn't tell them it was okay to build that statue. So when Moses finally finished his work, he finally came back to the people, he saw what they had been doing when he was away, and he was really upset with them because he knew they had made this big mistake. They had done this thing that God had told them they shouldn't do. And God was pretty upset too. So in the scripture reading that we're going to hear today, Moses goes back to work. He goes back to God, and he asks God for a sign that God will be present with the people. And he asks God to promise again, please, will you promise to be with us even though we have made this really big mistake? And he asks God to show his glory, his goodness. And God figures out a way to do it in a way that can keep Moses safe. And I love the imagery that's used here, which Reverend Brian talked about before, where God puts Moses in the cleft of a rock and puts his hand over him as he passes by to keep him safe. So let us listen to this scripture reading. Let's listen in on the conversation that Moses and God have together in Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. And this is from the translation, The Message. So those of you who are reading along in the pews, your scripture reading might look a little bit different. Moses said to God, look, you tell me to lead this people, but you don't let me know who you're going to send with me. You tell me I know you well and you are special to me. If I am special to you, let me in on your plans. That way I will continue being special to you. Don't forget, this is your people, your responsibility. God said, my presence will go with you. I will see the journey to the end. Moses said, if your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off right now. How else will it be known that you're with me in this, with me and your people? Are you going to travel with us or not? How else will we know that we're special, I and your people, among all other people on this whole planet Earth? God said to Moses, all right, just as you say, this also I will do, for I know you well and you are special to me. I know you by name. Moses said, please, let me see your glory. God said, I will make my goodness pass right in front of you. I'll call out the name God right before you. I will treat well whomever I want to treat well, and I'll be kind to whomever I want to be kind. God continued, but you may not see my face. No one can see my face and live. God said, look, here is a place right beside you. Put yourself on this rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll take my hand away and you'll see my back, but you won't be able to see my face. So here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and the honkings of all our party blowers be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This story about Moses reminds us all of this deep yearning that we all have in our hearts. It is this yearning to know God. It is a yearning to see the glory and the goodness of the Lord. Moses wanted that so much, and God figured out how to do that, how to let Moses see his glory. Now, I am curious, if you think back over your life, there probably wasn't a time, maybe there was, but it may not have been quite so clear, where God picked you up and put you in the cleft of a rock and covered you with his hand and walked by so that you could see his back and reveal his glory. It may not have been exactly like that, but I would guess that there have been times when you have felt that God's glory was revealed to you. Maybe it was in a particular place where you were, and it made it easier to feel close to God. Or maybe you really did have a clear experience in your life of feeling like God's goodness and God's glory was revealed to you. So I am curious, so that we can help each other to know the ways in which God has shown up in our lives and in this world, where has God shown up for you? Where have you seen God's glory? And you can just yell it out. Where have you seen God's glory in this world? My children. Your children, yes, beautiful. Where else have you seen the glory of the Lord in the world? Yeah, Nancy. The waiting room of a hospital. God shows up in powerful ways. Yes, yes. Yes, Melinda. A rainbow, beautiful symbol coming from Scripture that reminds us of God's love for us in the presence of God. Beautiful rainbows, yes, Sarah. The food pantry, the volunteers, all of the abundance that we're able to offer and help people, and in the clients too, right? Yeah, God shows up in powerful ways. Yes. Go ahead, Noel. In humans, yes, God shows up through other people all the time, right? Yeah. Regan, were you going to say something? In hockey, absolutely. And you had a pretty cool experience yesterday, I think, right? Yeah, that was awesome. Yes, Hannah. In animals, absolutely. God shows up through animals so very often. Are there other ways? Yeah, Boz. Yes, hearing the choir sing the Hallelujah chorus on Easter. Yes, the presence of the Lord is surely in this place, right? Daryl. Yes, all of the folks who help to raise money for the mission team, all the folks who come and give so generously, and the mission team that works so hard, yes. Shelters, yes, shelters that are able to provide a safe place for people. Yeah, and animals, yes, absolutely. Shelters for both animals and humans. Other ways in which you have experienced the glory of the Lord, places, yeah, Marilyn. Giving birth, yes. Oh, beautiful, yes. So many ways. Cynthia.
Unexpected phone call from a loved one.
Yes. Yes, an unexpected phone call from a loved one that you were worried about. Yes, it happened, right? Like, that's just a beautiful way in which the Spirit can work. Oh, I love it. Yes, Rosemary. When you joined this church. Beautiful. Yes. Yes. Yes, I love that. Yes. Yeah, Joyce. When you see the stars and the moon shining on peaceful water. Yeah, so often people can really experience the glory of the Lord in creation, in nature. Beautiful. Yes. Yes, Rebecca.
The friendships I've formed in church.
Yes, the friendships that you formed from the church, but that extend beyond the church. Yes, absolutely. Beautiful. Yes. So there, yeah, Sarah. Yeah, seeing the smiling faces and excitement on the children's faces as they head downstairs for Sunday school each week. Yes.
When I lose electricity, I get to spend some family time with my family.
Oh, when you lose electricity, you get to have some special family time. Everybody kind of joins together, right? Beautiful. I love it. Yeah, Noelle. Trees. Yes, creation, right? God's creation is all around us. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes, so Reverend Brian and I get a little shout out too. Thank you. Yes. So, So we see in this scripture text, right, this beautiful way in which we can connect with that desire that Moses has to see the glory of the Lord. And there are so many ways in which we can experience the glory of the Lord. Sometimes it happens in an instant and we feel God's presence. Sometimes it happens in a particular place where we know we can go and experience the power and the presence of God. So often it can happen in little everyday moments that just make us stop and say to ourselves, "Yay, God." So we're going to end today's sermon with a celebration of all of the things that we want to praise God for. And after each thing, we're going to say together, "Yay, God." So I want you to think back over the past week, maybe the past month. What are the things that have happened in your life that you want to give thanks to God for, that we want to offer praise to God so that together we can say, "Yay, God"? What are the awesome things that have happened in your life that we can thank God for? Yes. Go ahead. Your new job. Yay, God. Yes. Good. Yeah, Boz. Your new shoulder. Yay, God. Yes, Nancy. You're going to be a grandmother. Yay, God. Yes, Amy.
Summer vacation is 2 weeks away.
Yay, God. Yes, Shirley. You're great. A new great-grandchild. Yay, God. Yes.
Ooh. These party blowers.
Yay, God. Yes. What else are we grateful for? Yes. Ooh, hold on. Your best friends and your family. Yay, God. Good. Anything else that we want to lift up to God? Oh, we've got things over here. Okay, I'll make my way down. Tony.
All the donations to the charity ride that I'll be doing in August, the Pan Mass Challenge.
All the donations you've gotten for the Pan Mass Challenge. Yay, God. Janet. Seeing all your grandchildren all weekend. Yay, God. Joyce. Seeing your oldest grandchild graduate from college. Yay, God. Joe. 10 more days until school is over. Yay, God. Yes. All right. Anything else we want to celebrate? Yes, Noelle. That we're all alive. Yay, God. That's a great way to end, my friends. Well, my hope and my prayer is that in the days and the weeks ahead, you will all have so many opportunities to use your party blowers and give thanks to God. I'm sure your parents are going to love that we're sending these home with you. And the rest of us, I hope that we can remember to stop when those beautiful things happen in our lives and give thanks to God. And maybe our prayer over and over again can simply be, yay, God. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn today is This Little Light of Mine. We all know this one so well. The words are in the bulletin.